to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, hey, good morning, good morning, good morning, City View. Hi, best friends. Hey, I hope you guys are having a great weekend. This weather has been out of control for May, isn't it not? I mean, I've lived here my whole life, 40 years. I know some of you are like, he's 40? I know. I look really good for 40. Sorry for those of you who don't. This has been the best May I think I've ever experienced in Arizona in my entire life. Correct me if I'm wrong, anybody who's been here longer than me. Who's been here longer than 40 years in Arizona? Anybody? Okay, we got a few. Wow, look at that. Man, that's awesome. But this is such, we're not even going to hit 100 by the time we get to June. That is awesome. I'm hoping June is usually like May, and then July is usually like June, and then we sort of skip the really hot months, and we go right into fall. And then global warming is doing something totally different, and it's doing the up. I don't even know what it's doing, but either way, I just hope it stays nice. So you're going to notice some different things. So maybe some of you noticed it today. Anytime it's a holiday weekend, like this weekend, we do what is called family services. Family services just mean that we're not going to have children's ministry services for kids starting, I think it's second grade and up, and we invite them in here to service with us. One, it allows those who are serving in our city kids to have a weekend where they can actually get away instead of feeling guilty, like, I really want to go, but I got to serve, and we just say, hey, you know what, we appreciate you, and so this weekend are those who weren't planning on going out of town, and they're serving, and so that's why you're going to see that. We'll do that around 4th of July. Anytime there's like a three-day weekend, we just try to plan ahead knowing, okay, we know it's going to be a little lighter with those who want to serve, and let's have kids in because, you know, it's really important that our children see what worship, that what church service is like, because so many times what happens at a church is our kids are raised in these isolated little rooms, and then on Sunday morning, they go into what is called their junior high class, and then their high. I was a youth pastor for 16 years, and then we isolate them all the way through high school, and then we expect them, as soon as they graduate, to go into what they call big church. And they've been isolated, 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 and all of a sudden, you know what they do? They leave. That was one of the biggest things that broke my heart as a youth pastor, watching young people leave the church. And they weren't like leaving because they were mad. They were leaving because once they walked into what had been their church their whole life, they didn't fit in. Nobody ever said hi to them. I've heard these stories over and over again. They go and they sit in the main church service where they went. They sit there. Nobody ever welcomed them. Nobody ever said hi. They sit down in somebody else's seat because they didn't know that it was claimed. But we thought, well, okay, since we're starting fresh and new, City View, we're 3.5 years old, let's change some things. Let's see if we can start a culture where young people are already feeling welcomed and loved in church service at a young age, not wait until they hit college age. Let's start that younger, and let's get them engaged in volunteering and serving, not volunteering, serving and part of the team. So that's what we've done, and that's why some of the things you'll see young people, that's why we do what we do in that area. Now, with that being said, our young people are totally engaged. If you look and you go into any City Kids class, you're going to see a majority of them are in high school, college age, serving our city kids, which is amazing. But it's also tough because we're losing an older generation. I know some of you are like, hey, where can I serve? And some of you are like, well, where can I fit in? What can I do? And I don't know if you want like an elite role. But the thing is, we need the next generation to teach this younger generation. We need you to pour into them. We need you. We need you to come alongside in those city kids rooms, and you're like, I don't want to do kids. But what if you took it upon yourself to mentor that high school student who's teaching my kids? What if you took that as your role? You know what? I'm going to help them know some things that I did when I used to teach. And I've taught city kids here. But what if you came alongside and you helped in that role and you mentored and you took a young person sort of under your wing and you shared with them different things. You helped them know how better to lead because we really see this next generation as leaders. We want to help them, but we also realize that they cannot be led by their own peers. They have to be led by the generations before them. So I want to challenge you. As Tony said, it's City Kids signups. We still have open spots, and we have needs. And I would love to encourage you, get plugged in. If you're just sitting in a seat, you know what? You're wasting time. You're wasting time. Today, the message today is all about our purpose. What is our purpose? Life's purpose. Hacking life's purpose. That's today's message. And some of us, we're sitting and we're wasting time. And we're watching our life go by as if it's a movie. And we're missing out on opportunities to pour into somebody else. So I want to encourage you, take that opportunity. This summer, we got some things going on I want to share with you guys. We're going to have flyers and different stuff we're posting. But we've got two Bible studies starting up this summer. One starting up the second week of June. The next one starting up the third week of June. We've got a women's Bible study starting up Monday nights. Over at a house off of 12th Avenue in Union Hills, a women's study. They're going to be going through the book of 1 John. And then we have a men's study starting June 18th. Let me make sure. I just got the text. Yes, June 18th. That will be held at the office over off of 25th Avenue right over here behind the hospital. So that'll be on Tuesday nights so that you can take turns, husbands and wives. Wives, you can go to one. Husbands, you can go to another one. You guys can take turns and go to those. Those will be on Mondays and Tuesday nights starting in June. So be looking out for those. I want to encourage you to get involved with those. I heard a story this week about a young man who's trying to figure out his purpose in life. And so he went to the old sage in the village. He said, "What's my purpose? How do I learn my purpose?" And the wise man of the village took him down to the river, and he said, "Do you see all these people panning for gold?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "There's three different people here. There's those who pan for gold, and they find it immediately. They become rich, and they take the gold, and they just live off of what they found immediately." He goes, "And then there are some that they pan and they pan and they pan, and they don't find gold within the first week, but after weeks, months, and sometimes years, finally, they find it." And the young man says, "Well, what about the third?" He said, "Well, the third group are those who pan for gold, and after some time, they give up and they quit." The young man, sort of discouraged and confused, he's really wondering, what in the world is this old man talking about when it comes to purpose? Have you ever been in one of those conversations where you feel like an old guy just is rambling, 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 and you look at him and you say, "What?" I used to work for this guy named Irv, and he would tell me all these random, weird stories. He goes, "Jeremiah, it's three in a hill." I'm like, "Three in a what?" He goes, "Have you ever heard that term?" I'm like, "Never in my entire life have I heard." He goes, "It's a farming term." I'm like, "Well, I live in the city." And so he would ramble. But so the young man is concerned and really has no clue what this old man is talking about. And he goes, "Sir, what? I don't get it. I am asking you about purpose. I'm asking you, how do I figure out my life's purpose? What does this have to do with purpose?" He said, "Well, young man, there's three different kinds of people in the world. There are those who are trying to figure out their purpose, and it's almost like immediately, growing up as a kid, they know what they're going to be. They know the moment they are born. It's like they know the moment that they can start walking and talking. They know, I'm going to be a veterinarian when I grow up." And somehow, when they become a 30 or 20-something year old, they are a veterinarian. There are those people that just know that they know that they know. He goes, "And then there are some that over years of hard work and years of just sort of looking that they finally figure out, this is my purpose." He goes, "And then there are some, the third group, that they live their life and they give up because it's too hard and they just get comfortable." And so the young man walks down the hill or up the hill back with this wise sage. And he goes, "Sir, so what am I supposed to do?" He goes, "Will I ever find my purpose?" He goes, "Son, is there gold in that river?" "Yes." He goes, "Never stop looking." And as the old man walks back up the hill with this young man, he rests his hand on the young man's shoulder and he looks and he smiles because the old man was fulfilling his purpose by speaking wise things into the young man's mind, helping him know this is the direction you should go. You see, we all desire to figure out purpose. But so many times we get purpose and potential mixed up. Did you know that Jesus never lived up to his full potential? Did you know that? Think about it. Jesus had the potential to heal every single person on earth. Jesus had the potential to save every single life. Jesus had the potential to do so many things, but he never fulfilled his potential, but he fulfilled his purpose. You see, we get so wrapped up trying to fulfill our potential. Yes, you have so much potential, but if Jesus never fulfilled his, you'll never fulfill yours. But can you fulfill your purpose? Yes, Jesus fulfilled his purpose. He saved the world. He died for mankind. You see, you may say, how did Jesus fulfill his purpose? How did he fulfill his purpose? Because Rome was still there. People were still dying. Well, he didn't come to solve all of those things. He came to save the world and to seek and to save those who were lost. You see, Jesus fulfilled his purpose. We can get so wrapped up in our potential and never live out our full purpose. So how can we hack purpose in our life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. And God, I ask that you'd speak to us today, God, right here where we are. I know some of us are struggling, Lord. We're trying to figure out, have I messed up my life? Have I jacked things up so bad that I can't even fulfill my purpose anymore? Lord, I pray that today we'd leave with hope. Lord, some of us in here, we're young. We're sixth grade, fifth grade, fourth grade, and we're like, okay, what am I even supposed to do? Lord, I pray that you'd help us realize that we can fulfill our purpose right now, even as a 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old, Lord. God, I pray that we would never forget that you have a plan for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You see, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Each one of us. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 right now with me. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. If you don't have a Bible, that's fine. We're going to have verses up here. If you have a smartphone, the YouVersion Bible app has every single verse and all of my main points this morning. If you go over to the three lines on the far right on the bottom, click those three lines there. It says it's like you're more, gives you some tabs. Then you're going to find events. You're going to need to turn locations on. If you don't know how to do that, find somebody younger than you around you. There's a lot of them in here today, and they'll help you figure that out. If it's an Android phone, I have no idea how to help you. Go get an Apple phone. just sort of kidding. But all of that's there. So Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 says this, "Now may the God of peace," oh man, I love that. May the God of peace. I don't know about you, but there are some weeks where my life is full of turmoil, and I'm not even talking about like crazy, really bad things. It's just like the busyness and the hurriedness of life. But now may the God of peace, who brought you up from the dead, our Lord Jesus, brought you up from the dead. Some of you got baptized this week. That was what that was symbolizing, brought you up from the dead. The great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant, a promise with his blood, the blood that he shed on the cross. It says, may Jesus equip you with all you need for what? To do his will. To fulfill your purpose. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ, not through your own power, through God's power, every good thing that is pleasing to him, all glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 reads like this. For we are his workmanship. His workmanship. That word workmanship means masterpiece. It means poema. It means his artwork. That's how God sees you. His masterpiece that he's creating. He's not done with any of us yet. If he was done, we'd be dead. But he's not done. Some of us are, we've done things we shouldn't have done. We've messed up. We've made mistakes. But God's not done with you. He's still shaping you. He doesn't give up on you. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, God has a purpose for you. So how can we live with purpose? How can we do this? when we look at people in Scripture, when we look at people in the Bible, how did they live with purpose? How did they live with purpose in their lives? You see, there are some key things that each person in the Bible that lived on purpose, that lived with purpose. There are four key things that people in the Bible did that lived with purpose in their lives. The first one is God. You can see an image behind me is God. They had a relationship with God. You see, to live with purpose, you have to have an active relationship with God. You have to. What does an active relationship look like? You know, I was thinking about my wife and I. You know, there are some couples that they are married and their relationship is dead. They don't talk. They don't have any conversations. They do nothing together. They have their own separate lives, their own separate bank accounts, their own separate everything. And that's just sort of what marriage is. That's not an active relationship. That's a dead relationship. Now, an active relationship, my wife and I, we went on a date last night. Called one of the high school students here. Hey, can you watch our kids? Like within an hour and a half, she's there in our house. It's like, praise Jesus for Peyton. If you need a babysitter, I don't know any because I'm not sharing. Not kidding. I don't share babysitters. My wife and I, we went on a date. We talked. We hung out. We went and got coffee. After that date, we continued to talk. We help each other in the house. We share the chores. We do things together. We make decisions together. We pray together. That's an active relationship where we're pursuing each other. You see, to have an active relationship with God isn't just coming Sunday mornings. It's not Sunday mornings. If my wife and I only spoke on date night, I wouldn't have spoken to my wife in a month. That was the last time we went on a date. It was a month ago. So that means for some of us, for those of us who our active relationship with God happens on Sunday mornings, then you know what? That's an active relationship. That's dead. People who lived with purpose in the Bible, they had an active relationship with God. They loved God. They listened to him. They sought him. It says in James chapter 4, verse 8, come close to God, and God will come close to you. In James chapter 4, verse 8 in the ESV, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The New Living, if we go back to the slide before, the New Living says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. You see, I think some of us, the reason why we don't have an active relationship is because our loyalty is divided. We give more time to so many of the things that are wasting our time. And we're wondering, why, God, why can't I hear from you? God, why don't I know what you want for me to do with my life? Well, are you even listening? Or do you have so much noise going on? You see, I am a huge, I love to listen to books. I'll listen to podcasts and messages and all that. But I found that my mind gets so busy with noise. That what I've been starting to do in the morning is I don't even turn my music on anymore because I need some quiet. I need to be able to hear. I want to have an active relationship. So it's the same thing in my relationship with my wife. I've got to be able to put my phone down. I've got to turn the game off. Even if there's only like 39 seconds left and the Warriors are winning, I've got to turn it off going, but what have I missed? They're going to win. You don't have to worry about it. They're going to win. There's no team that is going to beat them right now. So don't worry. If you're going to watch the finals, go for it. It's going to be 4-0. I'm calling it right now. Raptors, good luck, but you don't have it in your tank. And maybe they might get one game if God shows up on their team. But you see, sometimes we've got to turn things off. Turn things off so that we might hear. So if we want to know our purpose, we've got to have a relationship with God. It's not just about doing things for him. Here's the thing. You can do good things without God. Did you know that? There's a lot of people who are doing good things without God, but you cannot do God, you cannot do God's will and fulfill your purpose without God. You can do good things, plenty of good things without him, But you cannot do God's will for your life without him. You can't. Number two, fulfilling our purpose. How do we pursue our purpose in life? Your gifts. Discover and cultivate your gifts. God has given each and every one of us a special gift and talent. Did you know that? God has given you gifts and he's given you talents in your life. It says this in Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 8, as it speaks about gifts. It says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having gifts and gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in portion of our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, and the one who contributes with generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So here's the gifts: prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. You're like, well, so what am I gifted with? Well, I heard this illustration by a pastor here in the Valley, that, and I think it's one of the best illustrations when it comes to explaining the gifts. So imagine when you're teaching a kid how to ride a bike. So if you're teaching a kid how to ride a bike, and your first thought is to say, hey, son, this is how you ride a bike. This is the seat. And you want to make sure that you sit on the seat and make sure the seat is at the right height for you. And you want to make sure that the pedals you want to make sure that you are pushing the pedals forward like this. And as you're turning the steering, you want to make sure the handlebars, you want to make sure you lean a little bit. If that's how you do things, if your first thought is to start explaining how to do it, then you know what? You're the gift of teaching. But then, if your first thing is as your kid is riding the bike and they start riding into doing whatever they're doing, maybe almost hitting a car, doing different things, and your first thing that is when your kid is learning how to ride a bike is to tell them exactly what the right thing to do is. This is the only way to ride a bike. This is exactly how you do it. This is the best thing to do with it. Then you know, you're probably the gift of prophecy because you're just speaking truth. That's what you do. You speak the truth. That's me. Maybe you're the one that whenever your kid, the bike breaks, the first thing you want to do is help them fix it. You're like, hey, you know what? I see your bike. Let me grease your bike up again. Let me grease that chain. Let me check and make sure everything's as tight as it can be. Maybe you're the gift of service. Maybe you're going to say, hey, son, okay, we're going to go on a bike ride today. I'm going to tell you exactly where we're going, how to get there, and what the whole steps are. Maybe you're the gift of leading. And you are so organized, you're like, okay, first we're going to go to 67th Avenue, and then we're going to make a right-hand turn. We're going to head from 67th Avenue down to Greenway. And once we get to Greenway, we're going to make another right because there's a park 2.5 miles down the road. And once we get to the park, then we're going to enjoy the swings, the slide, and this. And for an hour and a half, we're going to have fun there. And then we're going to ride our bikes back. We're going to take a different path. Maybe you're a gift of leadership. Or maybe as soon as your kid falls off the bike, you see, my dad taught me when you fall off the bike, you say, son, we laugh at pain. Even though I think my dad might be mercy sometimes, but that's what he taught us. Maybe as soon as your kid falls off the bike, your first thing is to pick them up, take them inside and say, I hate that bicycle. That is the meanest bicycle in the entire world. Let me take you inside. Would you like a popsicle? Let me wash you up. Let me clean you up. Maybe you're a mercy. Or maybe you look at that kid's bike and you're like, you know what? You need a new bike. It's a little old. It's a little old, and I see that it's a little worn. I'm going to get you a new bike. Maybe you're a gift of giving. You see, God has given you gifts, spiritual gifts, but he's also given you talents. He's given you talents. And your talents might be you're an amazing artist. You might be an amazing musician. You might be somebody who walks into a business that can help a business. You might see, an exhorter. I forgot exhortation. Kid is riding their bike and you're running right alongside them. You're like, keep going. You're doing a great job. You're going to make it. We're going to make it all the way to the garbage can because you're setting small goals and you're encouraging them. So you might be an encourager. And so we might have all these gifts and talents. Maybe you're technical, mechanical. You're a great listener. You see, God has given you gifts and talents, but it is your job to cultivate them. It's your job to cultivate those. Don't just sit there and do nothing with your gifts. You see, some of these people, as in that story I shared earlier, this young man is watching these people. Some are panning for gold, and some gave up. They didn't realize they had gifts and talents, and they just gave up, and they went. And some of us, we're just ready to give up. Don't give up. You see, God has given you gifts and talents. Use them. The third thing is your calling. Answer the call of God. Answering the call of God on your life is the intentional use of our specific gifts to impact His kingdom. That's what answering the call of God in your life is to use your gifts to impact His kingdom, to impact what God is calling you to do. You see, God has given each of us a calling to make a kingdom impact with our gifts. And I don't know what your gifts are, but some of us, we have gifts and we're not using them to impact the kingdom. God has given you gifts to do some amazing things, and you're sitting on them because maybe we don't feel qualified. This is in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. It says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it to finish the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." You see, maybe we don't feel qualified. You see, but there are people in this room that God has given you some amazing gifts and talents, and He is calling you to do something, and I don't know what He's calling you to do, but you're sitting on them. You see, I had gifts and talents. Growing up as a kid, I had the talent of talk. I got in trouble every time my parents would go to the parent-teacher conferences. They'd be like, "Jeremiah is a great young man, but." There was always a big but, and it wasn't mine, but it was always a big but. But he doesn't ever stop talking. I still haven't stopped talking, but here's what I've done. I've taken the talent that God has, and I'm using it for His kingdom. The talent that God gave me, I'm using it for His kingdom. So you might be a great listener. How are you using that for God's kingdom? You might be a great leader. How are you using that for God's kingdom? Because you're going to use your gifts for your calling. That's how you're going to do it. You see, I think there are some people in here that God has gifted you in music, and you're not using it for His calling. You're not using it for His glory. You're sitting on it. There's book ideas in here. There's people in here. You have book ideas in your mind, but God wants, and you're using it for wasting time. God says, "I have gifted you with an amazing talent to glorify me. Stop glorifying you." God isn't asking for your resume. Some of us, we look going, "Okay, God, I'm not qualified. Look at my resume. I can't do this." God's not asking you for your resume. He's asking you for your yes, and He's going to work through you. He says, "Have a relationship with me. I have given you gifts and talents, and I want you to use those gifts and talents for the calling that I have put on your life." And I don't know what it is. Each of you has a calling on your life. Some of you, you know exactly. The moment I was a senior in high school, I knew I was called to be a pastor. I knew that. There's some of you in here right now, you're 40, 50, going, "God, what is it you want me to do?" Don't stop digging. And maybe what it is, it's embracing the place that you are, the workplace you are. And God says, "I've called you to this place right here, right now, but you're not doing it for my glory. You're doing it for a paycheck, and you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time because you're only doing it so you can make ends meet. Imagine if you did it to glorify God, to tell those around you that there's a Jesus who loves them. Imagine if you did it to pour into that next generation and help them rise up to be who God calls them to be." You see, God wants to use you. God is asking you. He just says, "Just tell me yes. Just tell me yes." See, God isn't looking to see how qualified you are. He is just listening for you to say yes. So one, how do we do this? One, we have to have an active relationship with God. Two, we've got to realize that we have gifts and talents. And just like there's a part of the story I forgot to tell, and the old man, as he was speaking to the young man, he said, "Now here's the thing about those people down there. You see dozens of men and women panning for gold. They had to wake up this morning. They had to get their pan and they had to go down to the river. They had to take their tools and they had to sift for gold." So if you want to know your purpose, you just can't sit there and go, "Okay, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, God? I'm just going to sit and I'm going to play video games until I figure out what you want to do. God, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to sit on my couch. I'm going to sit at this job. I'm just going to wait." You can't just sit there and wait. You've got to get up and do. Have an active relationship with God. Cultivate your gifts and talents. Answer the call. And the fourth thing is you have to have godly community. You have to have godly community. This is so key and so important. Why? If you look at people in the Bible, if you look at the people in the Bible who fulfilled their purpose, you see why. Look at David. David, one, he had an active relationship with God. Many times he messed up, but you know what he did? He repented. He is known in the book of Acts. Luke wrote, and David was a man after God's own heart. That's what David was known for. Even though he had made plenty of mistakes, he was known as a man after God's own heart. Gifts. He was a gifted leader. He was a gifted musician. He was a gifted shepherd. He knew how to care for people. And he was a talented rock thrower. Think about it. He had a talent. And he used it for who? For God's glory. He wasn't like, hey, man, look at this. There's an award. I could win $1,000 if I can throw a rock and hit this thing. No. So he heard that there was an enemy of his people. He goes, hey, I have a talent that God gave me. I want to use it for God's glory. And he told that giant, he said, it's not because of me or how amazing I am, but because there's a Lord, there's a God in Israel that is real and he's alive, and I'm going to use my gifts and I'm going to use my talents for the glory of God. His calling. He could have written plenty of great R&B songs, but instead he wrote songs for the Lord. He could have gone out and started some business. Hey, rocks for God. Five for $19.99. Hey, I shepherd your flock. You give me your money. He could have started business, but what did he do? He threw a rock to kill a giant that was in the way of God's people. He took what he learned in as being a shepherd, and he learned how to lead God's people. He took the music and his gifts and talents that God had given him, and he used that to glorify Jesus. And we still read and we still sing his songs today. And he had godly community. He had his friend Jonathan, that was closer than a brother. That was like, hey, David, you shouldn't come to the party tonight. My dad, I think, might try to kill you. He had his back. He had his friend Nathan who said, hey, David, you've messed up, dude. You've messed up big time. You need to repent. He had godly community. Who else? Jesus. I mean, Jesus, he had a relationship with God. When you think about it, one, he was God, so he just talked to himself. But he had a relationship with God. It says in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Jesus had gifts. Think about it. He had every single gift possible. The dude could walk on water. Can you imagine Jesus as a guy who could play golf? There'd be no sand pits or water or anything getting in his way. It'd be unfair. He had gifts galore. Jesus' calling. He was called to save the world, to set free those who are captive. He was called to die and to rise again. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 18, or chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to what? To proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Luke 19:10, Jesus says this, this is why I've come, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus had godly community. He had his 12 friends, and then he had his three. Colin, could you come? Yeah, Colin, can you come up here real quick? Here's why godly community is important. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, two are better than one, but they have a good reward for toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, two lie together. We're not going to lie together, so don't worry about that. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You see, here's the thing. If I'm alone, who's got my back? Nobody. But you see, let's go back to back. But you see, if we're back to back, if somebody's coming at him this way and somebody's coming at me, who has my back? No matter which way I turn, we always have each other's back. That's why godly community is so important, that we have each other's back. My kids, our kids, probably played Fortnite way too long last night. And the whole thing with this game, Fortnite, is you have a squad. And within that squad, you have each other's backs. And if one of you dies in one of the games, you can respawn each other by putting your card into some minivan or something like that. Minivans are cool, even in Fortnite. But the whole thing is, you want your squad. And when one man bails in the squad and goes this other way, the whole team says, "Where are you? I need you. Somebody has taken me down. I need you over here now. Revive me." You see, the Bible says two are better than one. Thank you so much, Colin. Having someone close, having those people in your lives that have your back is so important. We are not meant to live lives alone. That's why we're doing this men and women's Bible study. That's why we do city groups. That's why we encourage you to serve on a team. Some of you are like, "I don't know if I want to go in somebody else's home and read the Bible and pray. That's sort of really weird." I get it. That's fine. But you're not meant to live life alone. Serve on a team. Get to know people. Because the Bible, Song of Solomon right here, it says, or not Song of Solomon, Solomon wrote this. He said, "Two are better than one." So here's the thing. If we want to reach our full purpose in life, you have to have an active relationship with God. You can put up the final slide. You have to cultivate and use your gifts. You have to use your gifts for what God has called you to do. And we must be in godly community. Life is found in community. So ask him, "God, what is it you want to use my gifts for? Are you a teacher? Use your gifts for his glory. Are you a secretary? Use your gifts and your talents for his glory. Are you a musician? Use it for his glory. Are you a firefighter? Use it for his glory. Are you a hairstylist? Use it for his glory. Are you a counselor?" No matter what you do, if you're not using it to impact the kingdom, you're wasting your gifts and talents. But if you're using your gifts and talents to impact God's kingdom, to tell others about Jesus, then you know what? You're fulfilling your calling. You're fulfilling your purpose. And God will do things you never imagined he could do. Lord, we're here. God, I know some of us this morning, we've been wondering, "God, what is it you're calling me to do? What is it, Lord?" And we've never looked in at ourselves and realized that you've given us gifts. You've given us talents. And we're sitting on them. Lord, I pray that we would use them for you.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.